This is Denise Garland for Scoop.co.nz, and I'm interviewing Chris Hipkins, the Rimutaka MP. So Chris, how did you get into politics?
It was probably when I was at secondary school, actually. We had a few issues going on at the secondary school I went to, and the local Member of Parliament, Trevor Mallard, came to meet with us. I was the head boy of my school, and so I met him that way. And then in my early first couple of years at university, I had a bit to do with Trevor and joined the Labour Party. And then I also got involved with student politics. While I was at Victoria University, I ran for the student executive first year, actually, that I was a student. Got on the student executive. I was involved in a student protest that meant that I got arrested the first year that I was ever a student. And that kind of helped to, you know, consolidate your views somewhat. And yeah, from there I basically went through and was elected as the vice president of the Students Association, then the president for 2 years. After that I went away and worked in the oil and gas industry for 2 years, or nearly 2 years. And then came back to work again for Trevor. Well, I worked for Trevor then for 3 years in his ministerial office. And then we travelled around London and Europe for just over a year. And came home to New Zealand and spent just over 3 months working for Steve Mahari, who was the Minister of Education. And then went to the Prime Minister's office. And it was just after I'd started in the Prime Minister's office, actually, that I successfully won the Labour Party nomination for Rimutaka. So I actually wasn't in the Prime Minister's office all that long. I was there maybe 6 months after that, and then I went campaigning full time.
How's your time here been so far?
Yeah, pretty good. It's an adjustment going from being a staff member to being an MP, because just the constraints on your time are entirely different. So whereas as a staff member, although you wound up in the whole political environment, you're here in the building the whole time. Whereas as an MP, you're out of the building a lot more. There's a lot more things you have to go to. So probably on a typical parliamentary work day, I'd spend maybe an hour at my desk, if that. The rest of the time I'm in meetings, select committee meetings, caucus meetings, in the House. You know, the way you communicate changes. So my BlackBerry is vital. And, you know, a lot more verbal communication than written communication, just because you just don't get time to spend doing, you know, as much of that kind of thing as you would do if you were sitting at a desk all day.
What do you enjoy most about being on this side of the desk?
Well, I mean, that's partly it, actually, is being out and about and meeting people and talking to people, particularly in the electorate. I find that incredibly grounding. I have at least 2 days a week out in the electorate meeting with people and having constituent appointments. I visit a school in my electorate every week. I will try and go and visit a business each week if I can, visit all the community groups on a regular basis, and just talking to people. And then also I have regular Saturday morning, what we call them constituency clinics, where people can just either make an appointment and come and see me or just show up. And they can raise, you know, any number of things. You know, I mean, I had a guy come in who desperately wanted a tree next door to him pruned because it was hanging over his house and just couldn't get anywhere with Housing New Zealand or with the council. We managed to solve that for him. And then you get more complex ones which are to do with, you know, work and income problems, people really struggling. It takes a while to kind of go through their history and, you know, and work things through with them to work out whether or not, in fact, there's anything you can do. And I guess one of the things that's difficult is sometimes you'll go all the way through that process and realise that there's just nothing that, you know, you can necessarily do. But I really enjoy that because it's really kind of quite grounding, and it gives you a perspective that you certainly don't get in here.
Who are your political role models?
There's quite a few. I'm a studier of New Zealand history, and particularly New Zealand political history. So some of my, I have different role models for different things, and I have people that I admire for different things. Trevor Mallard is someone who I've worked with a lot. Sometimes I've learned how to do things from Trevor, and sometimes I've learned how not to do things from working with Trevor. And so, you know, he's certainly a role model in the sense that, you know, I've learned an awful lot from working with him. I've learned a lot from working with Helen Clark as well, and, you know, just being in the Prime Minister's office, even if it was for a brief period of time. Sort of going back through New Zealand's history, some of the leaders who I really admire, I really admired Michael Joseph Savage and Peter Fraser, first two Labour leaders to lead us successfully in government. And if you look at all of the massive social change that occurred in New Zealand during the period of that first Labour government, clearly, and actually there was quite a divisive time for the Labor Party too. I mean, there was John A. Lee, who was effectively expelled from the Labor Party for causing them all sorts of problems. You know, it was not smooth sailing all the way through that. Of course, the added complication of the Second World War. And I think they led New Zealand remarkably well during that period of time. So I admire those people. Obviously, you know, there are people on the other side of the political divide. You have to admire, well, maybe not admire is not the right word. You have to appreciate people like Rob Muldoon for, you know, just what he was. People forget that he was incredibly popular when he was Prime Minister. They look back on him now, he's somewhat demonised. But actually, he was quite popular when he was Prime Minister. And I don't respect necessarily a lot of what he did. And I certainly don't respect the way he ran the country. It was very autocratic. But you certainly have to acknowledge that it was quite a formidable thing to do, the way he ran things. You know, he was clearly a formidable operator.
What are your goals as an MP for the future?
I mean, obviously, at the moment, I'm still kind of getting my head around all of the local constituency work. The reason, I guess, for getting into politics is around social services, and particularly around education. I think we can do a lot better in our education system. And that, you know, if I had to pick one thing, that if I look back on it when I'm finished in politics and said, you know, have I made a difference? I hope it would be in education that I made some kind of difference. We have too many kids that kind of the education system just doesn't work for. You know, they don't kind of fit within the box that our education system creates for them. And if you look at the high rate of people who leave school with no qualifications, the high rate of kind of special needs problems that we're finding in schools, then I think, you know, we can do much better there. And part of it's at the early end. So early childhood education has become a much, much bigger thing now than it might have been 20 years ago. And there's a variety of reasons for that, one of which obviously is that we have a much higher rate of two-parent working families than we would have had 2 years ago. So quality early childhood education is quite important in the context of kids spending less time with their parents and maybe not having a parent at home. You know, we can do a lot more at that. And then obviously, being a former student president, I've got some views on tertiary education. I'd love to see the costs come down further. I'd like to make sure that, you know, cost is never a barrier. And I think while technically because of the loan scheme it's not a barrier, I think psychologically it's still a barrier for a lot of students, particularly those who are on quite low incomes and could never imagine themselves being in a position to repay a $20,000 or $30,000 loan. Even though, yes, they can take out the loan and it may be interest-free, psychologically it's still a barrier for them. So I think, you know, we can do a lot more across the board, but, you know, in the early childhood sector, getting more kids involved in it, and the school sector, just making it a little bit less conformist so that it actually adapts and meets the needs of kids who don't fit within the system. And then at the tertiary level, obviously making it more accessible and more affordable. And probably the other thing is encouraging more people to take up trades and sciences. Those are the two areas where I think we can do much better. We've got a big problem with tradespeople all reaching retirement age, or a lot of tradespeople reaching retirement age, and we need to train more people to replace them. And then in the sciences, you know, that's something that New Zealand could be a real leader in. We do it really well when we do it. So if we really kind of built up our sciences, I think, you know, that could give us a huge kind of edge as a country.
Great. Thank you very much for your time, Chris.
That's right. That's it.